Today on Seculo, Biden's border crisis. We'll talk about that. We'll also be joined by former Secretary of State and ACLJ team member Mike Pompeo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Just a number to throw out at you right away. Under President Trump, illegal border crossings decreased to a record low of an average of 832 a day for the entire year of 2017. Under Joe Biden, in his first 6 weeks in office, they've increased to over 6,000 a day. An average of about 800 to over 6,000. Back in 2019, President Obama's former Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson was attacking Donald Trump, saying, you know, the wall and all of his increased border security, that wasn't really working, because if you have 1,000 crossings a day, it's in a crisis. Right now, there are 6,000 plus crossings a day on average, just in the first, just in these first weeks of the Biden administration. Why is that? Well, here's some things that President Biden did right away. He halted the construction of the Mexican border wall. He ended Trump's travel ban, restricting travel from 14 countries. He reaffirmed protections for DACA, deferred action for childhood arrivals, which, by the way, now we have another just kind of shocking number. Record 3,200 migrant children are stuck in Border Patrol custody with nearly half held past legal limit. These are the three-day limit. This is the children in cages, unaccompanied minors. But you don't hear about that from the media the same way. They don't say cages anymore. They say holding facilities. They say that they're going to school. But what we have seen is just an unbelievable surge because of the policy decisions and the political consequences of this election. So quickly, I'll go to Wes and Harry. We now have a crisis at our southern border in record time crisis. I mean, it's a record time to have a crisis.
Well, yeah. This is the law of consequences, which is largely lost, apparently, on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The number of unaccompanied children has tripled in just 2 weeks. And as you said, there are over 3,000 kids held in what Biden-Harris called immoral cages whenever they were running for office. And so these children are in those same, quote, immoral cages. You know, what Trump policies did, they reduced drastically the number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border. But that's not the case now. In January alone, and the February report's about to come out later this week, but in January alone, there were 5,800 children who crossed alone on the border. As of last Sunday, Jordan, there were 8,100 children in custody who crossed the border.
8,100 in custody. I mean, that's the kind of situation they're in, with kind of no end in sight based off the law. I mean, Harry, they tried to, you know, put the stop on deportations. That was blocked by a federal judge. But then there was a new wave of executive orders on raising the annual refugee admissions. So all these people are supposed to go through a court process. The children are just supposed to figure out how to be reunited with their family. They actually are going to the point where the head of the Department of Homeland Security under Joe Biden right now is calling for volunteers.
Absolutely.
It's pretty gross.
In a sense, Biden's policies are exploding in his face, and I think that is apparent to virtually everyone but Joe Biden. So Joe Biden has engaged in a policy of eliminating all Trump administration rules that put America first, and that has led inevitably to an overwhelming migrant surge at the southern border. The residents in South Texas, they understand it, but the elites in Washington apparently do not.
And it is a crisis. Trump got it to 800 a day. It's now back at 6,000 a day, folks. Support the work of the ACLJ. We've got a matching challenge the month of March. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, ACLJ team member, is going to be joining us very soon in this first half hour of the broadcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Still 1-800-684-3110. There is a crisis at our southern border, and the Biden administration is trying to recast it in a different term. Take a listen to this exchange, Pete Alexander from NBC News to Jen Psaki yesterday.
Because President, we're doing to be briefed on this from the Domestic Policy Council today, DHS assessing 117 or so thousand unaccompanied children, 117,000 unaccompanied children will arrive in the U.S. by their projection this year. Will he learn about it today? And that number seems like a crisis. The secretary said it isn't. How would we define a crisis?
Well, I'll leave that to the Secretary of Homeland Security to define. He said it was a challenge. It is a challenge.
And now, okay, so they don't want to call it a crisis. It's a challenge. Those are still not good things when they are caused by your bad policies. You didn't have to have this challenge if you didn't buy into the political rhetoric of the far left and then put their policies in place. You didn't have to have this crisis challenge, whatever you want to call it. And then now they're overwhelmed. Now they're seeking volunteers to help. But this is very much an example of taking the executive actions that were taken by Joe Biden immediately and the consequences they are having on our Border Patrol agents and on, of course, our border states.
Well, Jordan, first of all, it turns out that enforcement actually makes a huge difference. Who could have possibly known that enforcement actually helps rather than hurts the problem? But second, I mean, I would follow up on the conversation you had about Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. He wants to call it overwhelming. He wants to call it a challenge. Maybe he doesn't want to call it a crisis. But, Jordan, people need to consider the source. This is a guy who is one of the biggest proponents of open borders that's out there. So if he is conceding, Jordan, that it's overwhelming or it's a challenge, you have a full-blown crisis on your hands. But I would say this, the message from the White House, the message out of Jen Psaki is that they need to do a better job of communicating that now is not the right time to come. Jordan, there's a very clear way that the executive branch communicates not to come. It's by enforcing. It's by sending the message that if you do come illegally, you're not going to be released into the interior of the country. You're actually going to be apprehended and you're going to be turned around. Jordan, that kind of enforcement is what quells a crisis, and we're not guessing about it. This is what happened a couple of years ago. The Trump administration made it very clear that they would enforce the laws, and that quelled the crisis. So again, Secretary Mayorkas can call it overwhelming if he wants, but it's a crisis, and it's a crisis, Jordan, that he could quell if he wanted to.
I mean, this is what President Trump did to get to that decrease of having it really under 1,000 a day to about averaging about 800 a day, which you think about the size of the border, That is very low compared to what has already gone from 800 a day. Let me just repeat that again, to 6,000 a day on average. 800 to 6,000. How did Trump get there? Well, they limited who qualified for asylum. So people were really clear. They knew if they were coming in, if they were even close to qualifying for asylum. So there was a lot of scrutiny on their applicants who traveled through more than one country to get to the border, because it's part of international law is that if you're really seeking asylum, it's because you fear for your life, safety. And if you've gone through one or two other countries, why to flee your country, you have to make the case why it wasn't safe there. Are you were still basically being hunted down there. You were still in danger there. Not economic, it's better economically. That's not a case for asylum. You can't say, well, I went through all those other countries, so I had to get a mind because I was being, it was dangerous for my life and my family's life. But I didn't want to stay in the next country because economically it's not as good as America. So that doesn't work in asylum court. It's not an economic court. It's not regular immigration process. Regular immigration to apply for citizenship can be for those purposes, and you go about it a different way, but you don't use asylum. So there was also a zero tolerance policy. Everyone who crossed illegally was referred for a criminal prosecution as opposed to catch and release. We talked about that. They lowered the refugee admission ceiling from 110,000 to 50,000 so they could actually deal with the amount of refugees and people claiming that. And they ended some of the temporary status that were granted to illegals from certain places like El Salvador, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Sudan. So it was, again, very targeted strategy of how do we decrease the numbers so that the people crossing are either more legitimate or are the bad guys. And you can kind of separate those out easier. What I get concerned about, Wes, is that when you get to numbers of 6,000, the traffickers get right through, mm-hmm. the drugs are getting through, the terrorist groups also utilize the southern border. Some, it's not necessarily to carry out attacks on the U.S., but it's to make money, to sell drugs, trafficking of people, trafficking of goods, trafficking of minors, sex traffickers, etc. All of that becomes easier when there's a mess.
Yes.
It's a lot harder when there's only 800 people doing it instead of 6,000 plus.
And these are the ones they know about. These are not the ones who slip through that they don't see and don't get to confront. Yeah, this is a crisis of their own making. It's a moral crisis for the reasons you just indicated, because of human trafficking, of young girls and sometimes boys being taken advantage of by sexual traffickers. So it's a moral crisis. It's also a health crisis, because now they are releasing into the interior of the United States people who test positive at the border. They test positive and they still get on a bus and they go into the interior. That's happening right now too. So it's a moral crisis. It's a health crisis. And as you indicated, it's a national security crisis, because we don't know who all is coming across the border.
No.
It's a crisis of their own making. You know, there's a reason that a lot of people are showing up at the border with T-shirts that say, Mr. Biden, please let us in.
Yeah.
Because this is something that he instigated. As Tom Cotton said in one of our breaks there, this is not catch and release. This is recruit and release. One of the first things Biden did on his first day in office, he issued an executive order. There would be a 100-day pause on any deportations. That was like sending an engraved invitation to people to come and to illegally cross the border into America.
You know, it's also, I want people to take a listen to Secretary Mayorkas. Let's just back up March 1st. This was his message to people thinking about crossing the border. Take a listen.
I have to take this opportunity at the same time to reiterate a message that we have communicated repeatedly throughout, which is a message to those individuals who are thinking of coming to our border. They need to wait.
They need to wait, Harry. Not don't do it. Not don't break the law. Not this is not going to find safe haven here. You're going to end up in detention facilities with COVID and crisis, and your kids could get separated from you again and all those horrors that we hear about. But just wait. Give us a little time to deal with this 6,000 a day we're dealing with. And once we ramp up with enough, I guess, liberal progressive volunteers at the border, we'll start processing you, and I'll let you know when it's good to start illegally crossing again. Wait is a bizarre way of talking to people who are thinking this administration, and it is, doing exactly what they want by pressuring them, saying, you know, please, like Wes would just say, please, President Biden, let us in.
Basically, what we have, Jordan, is 1984 language being utilized by the Biden administration and Biden administration elites. So rather than say to illegals, why don't you wait? Why don't the American officials actually enforce the law? Why doesn't the Biden administration actually prevent sex trafficking? Why doesn't the Biden administration prevent illegals from coming across the border and spreading the COVID-19 virus? And so Joe Biden famously suggests that his administration will follow the science. And he has attracted a large number of Americans who I will call the follow the science crowd. And Joe Biden has suggested to individuals who want to actually liberate the American people from authoritarian pandemic regulations. He's called them what? Neanderthals. Essentially, the Biden administration immigration policy is a Neanderthal policy unless you favor sex trafficking, unless you favor the spread of the coronavirus. It makes no sense if you believe in borders. And I think that is the quintessential issue. The Biden administration does not believe in borders.
I'm going to talk to Secretary Pompeo about this, because obviously it's CIA director, so the intelligence of the security at the border, but also as Secretary of State, so dealing with Mexico. This is not something that he is, this was right in his wheelhouse, but we're going to talk about some other issues with him as well, including the Chinese Olympics coming up, the Winter Olympics. They're supposed to be in China in 2022, and a new report confirming what he said, which was that the Chinese are engaged in a genocide of the Uyghurs, and that this is a predominantly Muslim population in Western China, and genocide. There's another report backing up that designation by Secretary Pompeo and the Trump administration. So why on earth would we be hosting an Olympics and participating in Olympics where a genocide is occurring and the world is starting to agree? So again, our senior counsel for global affairs, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. Then we'll start getting to your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get an update from Than too on where that COVID relief bill is. Like, you know, we know it got through their Senate version. What's the House going to do? When does it end up potentially on Biden's desk? So what's going on there? One, so that some of you know when you'll get the relief, but two, talked about all the bad yesterday as well. But coming up live, joining us via Skype, so if you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, you'll be able to see Secretary Pompeo as well. So share this with your friends and families. Is our newest member of the ACLJ team, Mike Pompeo joins us in the next segment. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
He'll be joining us just a moment. We're just connecting with his team. Let me just underscore, too, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Because I think that what is important here to understand, I'll go to Wes and Harry here, is what we're going to talk about with Secretary Pompeo is not, of course, the border situation, but also this. We've talked about the growing threat from China, but now the world's going to have to make a call on giving China that attention by hosting yet now the Winter Olympics in 2022, right around the corner, while the U.S. State Department, under Secretary Pompeo, designated China as committing genocide against their minority Muslim population. There's a new report out backing that up and saying that they are violating the 1948 Genocide Convention, and that it is being done by the state. I mean, Wes, that is a moral decision for the world that is rapidly coming.
Absolutely. Remember back, years and years ago, I think I was in college, we boycotted the Russian Olympics
right
after they invaded Afghanistan. There is a time to take a moral stand. If we really believe in certain things, if we believe in morals, if we believe in religious freedom and human rights, I think we have to do this. China right now, and because they're so involved in other aspects of our life and trade and commerce and what have you, we don't think about it as much as we should. They are the world's leading persecutor of people of faith, Christians, Muslims. Lest we forget, the People's Republic of China, at least the Communist Party there, is an atheistic form of communism. And they are relentless in jailing, persecuting, and sometimes killing people of faith.
It takes it to a level, where we're at a level, Harry, where when you reach that level where you have met you're not just persecuting, but you're actually committing genocide. So, and genocide, sometimes people think, they think the Holocaust, they think what the Nazis did to Jews and other minority groups, but it's also these re-education, the idea that you will strip people of their identities so that if they do rejoin society, they will be rejoining as no longer Uyghurs, but as communists, good communists, good atheist communists without their backgrounds, without their traditions. And that also is a definition of genocide under the UN, under the Geneva Convention, that you're stripping people of that what makes them them.
Absolutely. So China is committed to a policy of stripping the Uyghurs of their identity. They are engaged in an affirmative policy of indoctrination and genocide. But the Chinese policy has been aided and abetted by global elites in Great Britain, Western Europe, the United States, and Canada. And so what is needed is for those countries to actually grow a backbone and to deal sternly, strongly with the Chinese government. But increasingly, there seems to be an unwillingness to deal with China. So for instance, if you look at the coronavirus and its spread, and if you look at the composition of the World Health Organization, it appears to me that the World Health Organization provided cover for the Chinese cover-up of their own inadequacies with respect to dealing with that particular virus. That is symptomatic of the unwillingness of the West to actually engage forcefully with the Chinese government. That is what is necessary, and that is what the Trump administration did. But it strikes me that the Biden administration is engaged in an accelerating effort to reverse all of Trump's policies that worked. So if the policy worked, let's get rid of it, and the American people suffer the consequences.
Jordan, it was candidate Biden who said regarding China, "Hey man, they're not bad guys." That was his quote.
Yeah,
they are bad guys.
Yeah, they are bad guys. I mean, he said that the reason why that they're doing this is because they have to be united, and when they're not united, they get taken advantage of. I mean, it's a country of 1.3 or 4 billion people. It's either the number one or number two biggest country in the world, and it's between that and India, and with massive military spending. So whatever China he was talking about is not the China of 2021 and the future. This is a China with rapidly growing power that is actively engaging in a attempt to become the world superpower, to supplant the U.S. as the world superpower. By the way, Secretary Pompeo is going to join us a little bit later in the broadcast, having some connection issues, as everybody's had during these some of these COVID times. But we will connect. We will have him on video live with us in the next half hour of the broadcast. But I did want to get people up to speed on what we're going to be talking about, because it's a major issue, and it's going to face the Biden administration. Then they're going to have to face it, because we're going to have to decide: are we going to send Olympians over? Is this where we're going to host the Olympics? Is the world really going to go and praise China again like they did last time the Olympics were there? This time be the Winter Olympics, and I fear that the Biden administration will.
Well, Jordan, you know, China certainly is not being victimized, anything but it. And, you know, at the end of the Trump administration, when this designation of genocide was designated, some were saying, well, it's not genocide because they're not being exterminated, the Uyghur people, they're not being killed. By the way, I definitely dispute the idea that they're not being killed in these camps. There's up to 2 million of them in these concentration camps, essentially. And, Jordan, one of the things that has been documented is that there's forced sterilization going on. So if that is not extermination, if that is not a quote-unquote quote, intent to destroy, which is one of the terms used under the Genocide Convention, then I literally do not know what is. The designation of genocide was absolutely appropriate. And one of the things I think we can talk to Secretary Pompeo about is, once that designation is made, moral obligations and legal obligations then attach to the nation making the designation. So you asked the question, Jordan, what does the Biden administration do with this? Well, they really have two choices. One, I mean, I guess they could attempt to try to remove the designation, which would be wholly inappropriate. But if that designation is going to stand, they must live up to those legal obligations. And I think Secretary Pompeo is certainly correct that looking at the Olympics would certainly be one of the things that you could do. I think that's probably a starting point, Jordan. That's sort of an honor bestowed on a nation with a lot of economic incentives attached, right? But look, I think that would be where you would start. But you also have to look to actively stop the act of genocide that is happening. So I think the Biden administration has an obligation to actively intervene to help these 2 million people who are attempting to be exterminated.
To me, this goes into how quickly you let things get away from you. It's not like, again, I'm not saying that Joe Biden could have, in his first 2 months in office, fixed everything with China, but he could have embraced what the Trump administration was doing, which was beginning to isolate China, beginning to think of China more as an enemy, as an adversary, certainly. Not someone you could just cut off with doing any business with. That would be tough on the U.S. economy. But one thing, you have to start moving towards that point, Harry. I think that's one thing economically the U.S. has, if we really don't want to be doing business with people committing genocide, and so much economics moves through China, we have to start preparing for how to cut that off.
Absolutely. But I think that the Biden administration, in a reversal of that policy, is trying to expand U.S. dependency on China, and China is not an American ally. And so why would we expand our dependency on this troublesome country?
So, folks, when we come back, second half hour coming up, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, and ACLJ team member, he's senior counsel for Global Affairs, will be joining us live to talk about the China issue, talk about the border issue. He'll be joining us live. So share this with your friends and family. If you're watching the broadcast right now, you don't want to miss that. And as always, remember, this is the month of March, matching challenge, double the impact of your donation. That's why we have people like Secretary Pompeo, Rick Rennell, and others on our team. Donate today, double your impact at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And welcome back to Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So Mike Pompeo will be joining us next segment of the broadcast. But I want to get some of your calls in as well, 1-800-684-3110. And before we get back to the China issue, and also I want to get back to this border issue as well, because I think it is key to point out that under the Trump administration, they're heavily criticized for the very small amount of people who were crossing the border illegally. They got it down to about 800 a day on average. Now, on average, it's 6,000 a day. So it's six times the amount of people. When you do that, you are increasing the amount for bad things to happen, because you could deal with about 800 people with our border agent. I mean, you could deal with them. It's a lot easier to catch the bad guys. 6,000? A lot tougher to catch the bad guys. A lot tougher to figure out who's really a legitimate asylum claim. A lot more children in cages, which is what's happening right now, being separated for a lot longer period of time. In fact, I mean, we know right now that the current numbers, there's 3,200 children stuck in Border Patrol custody. Half have been held past the legal limit in those cages, which is a three-day legal limit to be held that way. Nearly 1,400 unaccompanied minors have been held by CBT facilities for more than 3 days, they're supposed to get them to shelters and places like that. They're not able to do that. So they're calling on volunteers now, but they won't call it a crisis. We will. We'll call it a crisis in leadership, a crisis at the border. It's a crisis for the people who live in border states. It's an economic crisis, a security crisis, and it's because of political correctness, Harry. They don't like. They had to make all of those executive orders that undid what President Trump did because they weren't popular with the AOC crowd.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I think is becoming very apparent to the American people, beyond the fact that President Biden seems oblivious to the facts that are actually on the ground, is that the Biden administration is not committed to pragmatism. So, for instance, if a Trump policy works, let's eliminate it, not grounded in science or practicality, but grounded in ideology. And so that has led to an emerging border crisis, which is actually expanding day by day. And so Biden, for instance, when he was running for president, he criticized President Trump for, quote unquote, children in cages. It turns out that most of the pictures were children in cages during the Obama administration. And unsurprisingly, the Biden administration has effectively restored the Obama administration policy while claiming to be a humanitarian. So one of the things that I think the American people should do is they should listen carefully to what Joe Biden says and come to this particular conclusion. Either the policy will backfire or the Biden administration will do precisely the opposite of what they claim.
Let me grab a call. Mike in Kansas on line one. Hey, Mike, welcome to Sekulow.
How you doing?
Good.
Thank you. Hey, I just called to suggest what I have just gotten off the phone myself doing, and that is I've called all of the Kansas Washington delegation, all my representatives and my senators, I'm sorry, and I have asked them to introduce legislation to codify President Trump's immigration policies.
Well, I mean, listen, in a couple of years of the midterms, I think that there's going to be an opportunity for Republicans to do that, but they're going to have to step up, and it'll have to be a veto-proof majority. Because Joe Biden is not going to, remember, it's not a crisis for them. And the media is not going to push on, it's 6,000 in horrendous conditions, trash. COVID is down there. We're just making the turn on COVID, but now we're going to have 6,000 people testing positive and still allowed in. We'll talk about all this with Mike Pompeo. Legislation is the ultimate goal here. But even for President Trump, Republicans could not get it done. He had to rely on his own executive power. Because of political correctness. Political correctness actually leads to more human rights violations, worse conditions at the border for these people. Tell them, now's not a good time. Just wait a little bit. It's Homeland Security Secretary, and then be back. Be joined by Secretary Pompeo when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. It is great to be joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, on this issue of China that we've been talking about, with a new report out from a separate organization, New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy, saying what is happening to the Uyghurs in China is genocide. It breaches the 1948 Genocide Convention. Secretary Pompeo took the lead, really. And did you feel Secretary Pompeo, when you came out initially and made that statement that you've concluded that China was committing genocide under the UN conventions of this specific to the Uyghurs and other minority populations, what was Washington like when you made that kind of declaration?
We worked on this for an awfully long time. We'd been looking at this set of issues for months and months and months. There was lots of debate inside the State Department about whether the legal prerequisites had been met. And in the end, I concluded, A, that the legal prerequisites had been met in spite of the State Department's lawyers thinking otherwise. But most importantly, we know genocide. The world knows what happened in the 1930s in Germany. The world knows when there is a nation state acting in a way that the Chinese Communist Party is acting today. We know what this means for a set of peoples. We know their intentions. You've seen the kinds of activities that are taking place, ranging from forced abortions and sterilizations to internment of peoples. This is a quintessential case of genocide requiring the world's attention, focus, and a response that is commensurate with the threat that the Chinese Communist Party poses to these people.
And yet right now, as you noted in Twitter and you've commented about, you know, we're not long away for China hosting yet again another Olympic Games. This would be the Winter Olympic Games in 2022, and if they can get away with what you and the State Department deem to be genocide, I mean, there's specific definitions of this, and your attorney's going through it. It's a major declaration to make, and other organizations now, nonpartisan, nonprofit organizations, are coming to the same conclusion. In fact, a lot of Muslim organizations coming to the same conclusion. But if they were rewarded by the world with that kind of opportunity to yet again host an Olympic Games, face no consequences from this. I mean, it kind of is like China unleashed. And when you have China unleashed, that makes me nervous about not just the broader implications of what it means to the United States as well. And is the world just going to sit by and go to those Olympic Games and act like everything is fine?
Jordan, that can't be the case. Your point when you began was this isn't partisan. This isn't political. This is deeply moral. This is about the fundamental nature of humanity and the work that's taking place there by the Chinese Communist Party there to deny the humanness of these people cannot be rewarded by the International Olympic Committee. I know it's close. They think it's close in. It's very difficult to move. I appreciate that difficulty. The whole world wants to see the Olympic Games celebrated, but they can't be celebrated in a country that is conducting exactly this kind of activity. What businessman would want to go there? What individual would want to travel and support the Chinese Communist Party and be part of a Games that was being lorded over by Xi Jinping and who would benefit from having this prestigious event held in this country, all the while he's trying to destroy an entire class of people? No, the International Olympic Committee has a moral obligation to get this right. It has a moral obligation to find an alternative solution. And when it does, the world will reward them for having done so, having done the morally right thing. And frankly, the Chinese Communist Party will have paid a price for the horrors it is inflicting upon the Uyghur population.
How much influence? I mean, I think you would know this now coming out of as Secretary of State, as CIA director. So if the Biden administration, if Joe Biden himself, our president, were to kind of come out, put that pressure, whether it was initially maybe a phone call to China and to the Olympic Committee to say, we're going to take this position. You're not going to knock this off in time. We can't do this here. We can't participate. And maybe build a coalition of other countries to where if they do move forward, it's like a country, it's like a list of the bad actors, if you will, or they find an alternate location because there won't be enough of the countries participating for it to be legitimate. But again, time is short, and I haven't seen that kind of tone coming out of the Biden administration.
Jordan, American leadership on this could absolutely drive this to a conclusion that would impose costs on the Chinese Communist Party and do everything inside of our nation's power to deter the Chinese Communist Party from continuing these horrors. After all, that's what we really want. Imposing costs on China is only a means to an end. It is the means towards the end of achieving a world in which the Chinese Communist Party isn't inflicting these horrors. We want to deter them. We want to stop them from doing what they are doing. And the United States, if President Biden were to take this on full frontal, I am very confident that he could change this. I will say this. What I have seen alternatively from the Biden administration is that even today I was reading that Secretary Kerry is cozying up to the Chinese trying to cut a climate deal. How is it the case that this administration can work on a climate deal while they're trying to convince the Chinese Communist Party to stop this genocide? It's very complicated. They have that as a real priority, and I'm afraid they will jettison. I'm afraid they'll jettison Taiwan. I'm afraid they'll jettison the people of Hong Kong, and I'm afraid they will genocide the Uyghur Muslims, all for the benefit of a climate deal.
Yeah, and then the second would be like if we had to take a stand as the United States. Do you think that under a different administration? I'm not sure under this administration it would happen. I think we could put the pressure campaign. That's why it's important that you're starting to talk about it and we're starting to talk about it. Everybody's kind of make this an issue, and the Olympics kind of being gives people kind of something realistic to tie this to. So we're not just talking about this genocide they may not be able to see, and they're trying to understand who are the Uyghurs and update people about that. But would this be a situation where if the IOC says, you know what, we're moving forward with China, we don't care about the United States, should the U.S. go or should we boycott? Is it a boycott? I hate doing that to our athletes who have been training for that. It's the worst. But at the same time, I don't want to be supporting people engaged in genocide.
I hate it, too. It's difficult to imagine a U.S. Olympic team going there. Remember, this is a country that is detaining people from Canada today. It's got two Canadian detainees who are held for no reason whatsoever, the two Michaels, as we called them.
Yeah.
This is a country that is violating international law. We've watched them deny people exit from China when they were doing business there because there was some perceived transgression when the reality was it was just some political objective. It'd be very difficult, I think, to send an American Olympic team to Beijing under these circumstances. But I hope in the first instance we build out a coalition and convince the IOC that this isn't the right place. And if you have to delay it, if you have to move the games back a bit, so be it, to reward this kind of behavior with the prestige of the International Olympics or the Winter Olympics. It's completely inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and again, we've got Pastor Saw who's there for 4 years, and I mean, these charges are totally bogus, but pressuring China, it's not easy. It takes that coalition. It takes reminding other countries, hey, you've got your people here too. I think it's right what Secretary Pompeo is saying, building that coalition to oppose this move. I know, Wes, you've got a question for Secretary
Pompeo. Mr. Secretary, you know, China is what it is and does what it does because they get away with it. There's no real price to be paid, you know, in a deep, meaningful way, I think. The world should unite. And if the world united, China would be forced to change, for example, its genocidal policies. Is that a pipe dream? Is there any way for the United States to lead so that the world says enough is enough?
Wes, of course it's the case. And our administration began that process. It began with identifying fact sets and sharing with the world what was really taking place and being fearless in identifying the threats to American freedom and our own security, what that meant, and then to share that across the world as well. I spent a good part of my time as Secretary of State working on exactly that project, making sure that everyone in the world knew that their economic predation was destroying lives and that the genocidal activity and the work that they'd done to violate the most basic promises they'd made to the people of Hong Kong, the list is long, and we did that. We began to impose costs on our own. The president placed tariffs on them. We sanctioned senior leaders of the Chinese Communist Party who were engaged in these atrocities in the western part of China. We began to do that. We began to build out coalitions. Our Australian friends, our Japanese friends, our Indian friends, our South Korean friends all know that their peoples are threatened too. The United States can lead this effort. We should lead this effort. And I am confident that the American people are going to demand that their leaders from whichever party they are, the Republican or Democrat Party, work on this problem, said it is at the center of the most existential threat to the United States that we face today.
As always, Secretary, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you as part of the ACLJ team as Senior Counsel for Global Affairs and all these issues. I think this is one, too. We've got to start educating people about it. It happened towards the end of your tenure at the State Department. Learn about this people group. Learn about what China's doing. Learning, of course, the Olympics, kind of attaching it to that, helps people kind of put it all together. So, Secretary Pompeo, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Jordan. So long.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And let me remind you, too, as you know, the reason why I've been able to put together this team so that Secretary Mike Pompeo is joining us, you know, a couple times a week and bringing you information, insight from people who are making the call. He had to make the call on whether what China was doing was genocide, knowing the ramifications of what that designation would mean. He did it. We're able to bring those people directly to you because of your financial support of the ACLJ. He's not just a guest. He's an ACLJ team member. If you donate in the month of March, we have a matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation. So a $20 donation is like $40 for the ACLJ, but it only costs you $20. $50 donation to the ACLJ is like $100, but again, it's only costing you $50. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. You know, folks, I love being able to bring you that kind of content, those kind of guests live for you, where we have these discussions and start making you think. So we're all thinking about issues that might not be front page because, you know, the media is so tied to China, the business world so tied to China, the Biden so tied to China that the last thing they want is for you to think bad things, the truth about China. And now that there's just some issues there with, you know, how many children you can have, and that applies to everyone. But there's actually a targeted genocide. And so what's interesting to me is that it happens to be us pointing this out, but not the Washington Post, not others who are not pointing out a genocide of Muslims because they don't look like the Muslims that they like to call xenophobic. If we take any action, travel ban, travel this, travel that, while we're dealing with terrorism from the Middle East, but because they don't act or behave like those Muslims, and because they're so in bed with the Chinese, so many of these companies, that these Muslims don't deserve any protection. So it falls on us because we believe that no people should be subject to genocide, regardless of their race, their religion, their creed, the color of their skin, their eye. You know, this again, it's points out the hypocrisy. It's only a real genocide to the left when it's a genocide that fits their political narrative. When it doesn't, or it's only a bad action. It's only xenophobic when it fits their narrative. When it doesn't, and it hurts their business, suddenly, you're not right. They're not really doing that, and they look the other way. And there's nothing good out of that. But I do want to get back to the immigration issue, too, as well, because I want to go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. And Than, this just seems like one of those issues is going to continue to be out of control. The caravans are back, 6,000 a day. We're going to see that violence start increasing again, the border start increasing again, drug cartels increase power. And we've got an administration who's spending less resources at the border.
Well, unless you change a policy, Jordan, it's just going to increase the magnet for people to continue to come. And I go back to the soundbite you played earlier in the broadcast where the secretary was telling people to wait. Jordan, he may as well send them a green light, because if he is going to say to wait, that's going to tell them that they're going to get away with it when they come. And look, I don't want to remind people what his title is. He is the Secretary of Homeland Security. So, Jordan, how about when some people say we're going to violate the law, we're going to come in contradiction to the law, it's going to, first of all, he should tell them it's going to be a very dangerous trip and you may not survive it. But if you make it, I, as the Secretary of Homeland Security, will send you back. That's the message he should be sending. And Jordan, I also just want to remind people, you did earlier in the broadcast, but a refugee program or an asylum program, that is something that we actually care an awful lot about. We utilize those programs to help people whose lives are truly in danger to come to the United States of America. And when those programs, Jordan, are abused to this extent, here's what happens. Someone takes one of those spots that is legally allowed under the statute, comes into the United States under a false pretense. That costs someone who legitimately qualifies, who legitimately needs asylum, or who is legitimately a refugee. That costs them a slot, Jordan. So this idea of just letting anyone come and not enforcing the laws, it is actually the opposite of compassionate. It costs people whose lives are truly in danger the ability to seek America, the city on a shining hill.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get the real asylees in. You can't get that. The courts are overwhelmed. The catch and release policies, people never show back up in court. But then you're creating that entire another, I mean, we're at somewhere we think around 11 to 20 million people who live in the shadows. And we never got to figure out under President Trump, they would not go along with plans to figure out what to do with those people. Obama, no plans. All executive actions that would be in and out of courts. It looks like Biden going the same way. And if you don't, you're going to create another 20 million people who live in the shadows. They're not U.S. citizens at any time. They could be deported. And then they have these long, you know, they may have long histories, but they're not able to establish being here legally. And they could be generational. It could be multi-generational. And no one's really sure who was the American here? Who was the person who can actually legally be here? Which is a moral failing also.
Absolutely it is. You know, and that 11, 12 million figure of people that are here illegally, that's been the figure that's been tossed around for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So I suspect it's probably a lot more than that. But the Biden team, to what Than was saying, you know, they tried to make the case that President Biden is fulfilling a campaign promise to be more compassionate to immigrants. This is not compassion. Being held at the border, these children being held, you know, unaccompanied, giving people in South and Central America false hope, that is not compassion. And not only that, it endangers Americans, their personal security, economically, their health, now that people with COVID are being released into the country. And it's a slap in the face, not only to what Than mentioned, to people who really are refugees who need to come here. It's also a slap in the face to immigrants who come here legally, who wait, who go through the process. And, of course, it's creating absolute chaos on the border. And it's all because of the policies of this president who's been in office just a matter of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is something here I think that it's pretty remarkable. It just shows that how tumultuous the situation is. How the Trump administration was doing everything they can, spend a lot of resources, a lot of time selling the ideas to the American people, selling the policies, the idea of a wall, but also of increased border security, putting more resources there, and getting it down to that a manageable number, and how quickly policies and tone of an administration can take something that was under control, and now it's out of control.
Absolutely. And the cost of the change in policy is being borne disproportionately by the most disadvantaged Americans. And so I would challenge anyone to go to South Texas. If you go to the cities in South Texas, they are being overwhelmed by immigration, illegal immigration. Most of those residents are poor. Most of those residents are Hispanic. Most of those residents tend to lean toward the Democrats. But now many of those residents are realizing that the immigration crisis at the border is costing them jobs, is increasing the crime rate in their neighborhoods. Meanwhile, the elites who live in the Tony areas of Washington, D.C., who live in Bethesda, see additional immigration as simply a political move. So at the end of the day, illegal immigration means that the migrants are political pawns in advancing the progressive ideology of the left. They don't really care about these individuals. They don't really care about advancing the interest of the United States. And so at the end of the day, we are all poor because the Biden administration reversed the policies of the Trump administration that were working.
Folks, I mean, again, this is an issue that is not going to get better over time under the Biden administration. Congress, listen, I think it would take the midterm elections. So they're either going to have to wake up, and the media is going to have to wake up and start calling using the same terms. Children in cages, showing the images, showing how disgusting it is, showing how gross is the human conditions people are living in. With the idea, of course, that COVID is spreading too. These are not people that have been vaccinated yet. Certainly, they're low on the list there, and they're not coming from countries that have real good plans for that. Until that happens, it'll go 6,000 a day, 10,000 a day. We're going to be right back to just total chaos again at the border, which is bad for everyone. And it's a moral failing as well. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're not afraid to call this out. We're not afraid to take a stand on the issue. And support the work. Double impact your donation at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.